You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hey, we got a new super cool party people only giveaway for you.
It's only for party people. If you are not a party person, you just don't listen.
Get out.
Yeah.
A fun March giveaway for y'all, because we just like to give stuff away. It's just like a fun little way to spice things up.
It is. And March is just like a cool month.
Yeah. You know? Like, Ides of March and
St. Patrick's Day.
I don't know why my brain went there.
Like, I don't either. That was unique.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day is probably a more festive. So for our March giveaway, we've got some cool stuff. We have a Art History Babes t-shirt in black.
Classic black.
We have a really cool book about some, it's drawings by some Venetian masters.
Tiepolo. Yeah.
Ginny on the Italian over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got a Rauschenberg inspired mug, some white sage for witchy vibes, also just general good smells.
Yeah.
White sage, cone incense, not actual white sage.
Yes, yeah, incense vibes. And we got a Norman Rockwell puzzle. So really a wide array of of
arts-related goods.
Feast.
Yeah, definitely.
For you.
Definitely. It's a fun giveaway, I think. And to be entered to win, all you have to do is head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/arthistorybabes, and become a patron and help support the production of this podcast and other Art History Babes content. Every dollar that you pledge to the Art History Babes is an entry. So $1 a month, that's one entry. $5 a month, that's five entries. And if you're wondering yourself, hey, I'm already a patron, I'm screwed. I can't be a part of this super cool party people giveaway.
You're not screwed.
You're not. All you got to do is up your pledge. If you up your pledge by a couple dollars, then you get a couple entries. So everyone has a chance to enter however many times you would like. This is for the duration of March. So from March 1st to March 31st.
Mm. That feels right.
Yeah, there's 31 days of March.
Sure.
If you get on our Patreon from the 1st through the 31st, your entries will be counted. And then at the beginning of April, we will pull a name out of a hat. It's going to be a good time.
It is.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history bay.
Art History Babe Briefs.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Ginny. And we are the Art History Babes.
And we got a little Art History Babe brief on one of the most notable works in the canon of Western art history.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Las Meninas. Mm-hmm. If you study art history, it's unavoidable. You gotta just do it.
You gotta confront the menina. That was a very improper use of the title. So.
Something we've all had to do.
It's a rite of passage.
Yes, so we're gonna talk about it a little bit. Give you some fast facts on Las Meninas.
Exactly. So Las Meninas was painted by Diego Rodriguez de Silva y Velasquez. Velasquez was a 17th century Spanish painter who became one of the premier artists in the court of King Philip IV. In 1623, Velasquez was invited to Madrid to paint a portrait of the king. The portrait, though lost now, must have been a success because it led to Velázquez being named official painter to the king. He painted for the Spanish royal family for the remainder of his life. Velázquez was inspired by Titian, Rubens, and Caravaggio. Diego Velázquez has become one of the most well-known and beloved artists of the Baroque. He is most recognized for his portrait paintings of members of the Spanish royal family.
And we also talked about him briefly in our...
Bad Boys of the Baroque.
Yeah, in our inaugural episode, mm-hmm. Bad Boys of the Baroque, we talk about our boy Diego. So go check that one out if you haven't.
Now we've talked about him in BBB and a BB.
BB, BB, BB.
Lots of Bs going on here. Velázquez painted Las Meninas in 1656 in the Cuarto de Príncipe in the Alcázar in Madrid, the room actually depicted in the painting. The painting is massive, 318 by 276 centimeters. The title, Las Meninas, translates to Maids of Honor. At the center is the Infanta Margarita, the princess and daughter of Philip IV and his second wife slash cousin, Archduchess Maria Anna of Austria. She is attended in the painting by her maids of honor, Maria Augusta Sarmiento and Isabel de Velasco, in addition to two little people who served in the court at the time named Marie Barbola and Nicolasito Pertusato. Nicolasito is nudging his foot at a very irritated-looking dog. Behind them are attendants in the court, all but one of whom have been later identified.
To the left of Margarita is Velázquez himself, depicted as painting on a large canvas. It has been surmised that he painted himself painting in this image. He looks directly at the viewer and is dressed well in black clothing, so not what you might typically imagine a painter to be wearing while painting. And this presents a sense of his confidence and skill because Velázquez can paint in his high quality garments and not risk getting paint on himself because he's just mm-hmm. that good. Mm-hmm. He also demonstrates himself not merely as a talented artist, but as an intellect. He portrays himself in the act of painting. However, the canvas that he is painting on is facing away from the viewer. So you cannot see what the painter is painting in the painting.
Mysterious.
Yes, this creates a very layered, mysterious, thought-provoking composition, which people have just been adding layers to for years and years. Just layer on layer of thoughts being provoked.
Yes.
Can't go a year without a new layer.
It's true.
Yeah, it really is.
It's kind of like a Princess and the Pea situation. You just got like mattress on top of mattress.
Do we even feel the pea anymore? People.
Like, honestly.
Right. Adding further still to the mystery of this composition, Velázquez incorporated a mirror in the background in which we can see a reflection of the king and queen. Art historians have posed various theories over what this could mean. Perhaps we, as viewers, stand in the place of the king and queen upon entering this room, being reflected back in the mirror, and that is why most of the figures in the composition look at and take notice of the viewers. Or perhaps the king and queen are a reflection of what is being painted on the canvas inside the composition.
Who knows? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Who's to say?
Who is to say?
This painting is not like other portraits Velázquez painted of the royal family. Typically, such portraits focused on one subject posed for the painting. This, in comparison, tackles multiple figures all at once. The Infanta is certainly foregrounded, but there's also a self-portrait incorporated, the king and queen, as well as attendants of the court. It almost works as a genre scene, capturing an everyday moment, but this, of course, is not an ordinary household being rendered in this painting.
Las Meninas has stood out as one of the most influential paintings in the Western canon of art history. This work has been described as the theology of painting and the true philosophy of art.
Wow.
Those are like some heavy statements. Mm-hmm. The work is highly self-conscious and comments on itself as well as the role of art in society. The painting has been studied by art historians and philosophers alike. Art historian Dawson Carr claims that the painting suggests that art and life are an illusion. Mm. And philosopher Michel Foucault analyzes Las Meninas in great detail in his book, The Order of Things, as a study in shift of human consciousness. Kind of approaches this as, because it's such a self-aware painting, mm-hmm. as almost like a birth of modernism type moment.
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? There's so much to unpeel here, mm-hmm. and like we could go so many different directions with it, but it is worth just a little critical analysis. What do you think? What are mm-hmm. your feelings towards this painting?
Mm-hmm. I definitely think there's a lot of layers to it, and I think that Velázquez was making a lot of conscious decisions in the way that he arranged the composition. But I also think that sometimes in more contemporary society, people have the tendency to overanalyze and perhaps give too much credit
to
an artist and a work. I don't know that I would say it marks necessarily, well, maybe it marks a shift in human consciousness. Now I don't know for sure. But, I mean, it is very unique in the way that it's rendered. I mean, because you see artists portray an artist in the painting a painting in a painting.
Mm-hmm. Inception.
Yeah, exactly. Like Vermeer did that. Other more like contemporaries of Velázquez did that as well. You know, Artemisia Gentileschi did a self-portrait of herself painting.
Yeah.
In nice clothes too.
And we've also seen before this, we've also seen the issue of the mirror played out with like Van Eyck. You
totally.
Know, the Arnolfini portrait's got the mirror in the background that's not reflecting correctly and asks you those same questions, and that right. you know, was painted in the 1400s.
But then it's just the fact that he's doing all of these things at once right. in essentially what is a portrait of a royal family member. So it's right. like, is it? It's just the brazenness that really.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky, and this is a painting that's confounded art historians. Since it's in creation, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes sense because there's multiple figures being represented. There's the mirror angle. There's the self-portrait angle.
There's a notion of just like hierarchy, like social hierarchies right. being played out like right. hardcore.
Right. And I mean, even like Velázquez puts himself kind of on the same plane as Margarita.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like back behind her a little bit, but obviously since he's a man and she is a child, he's a lot taller.
Mm-hmm.
And the king and queen are like these little figures in the back,
yeah,
which is interesting to think about what that could have meant and all that. But I mean, it's interesting and it's a good mental exercise to wonder about why he did these certain things and what they could all signify. But I also think sometimes there's a tendency to overdo it from what it was actually intended to be.
I agree. I think this painting is subject to that just because of how much it's been like
right.
how much person after person has added on to it right. and then I think it just becomes this huge like monolith of a mystery when really
right.
like he was doing something interesting and different.
Totally.
No doubt. And there is a very solid amount of self-awareness in
yes.
this painting also, no doubt. Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe going back to like the Foucault argument, maybe mm-hmm. he's right to an extent, but the idea, I feel like the idea that just because, you know, it's one of the first times we see an artist representing himself, you know, maybe on the same plane as royalty, mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's the first time an artist ever thought about it, you
right.
know? So it's hard to say what it means in terms of consciousness, but it does, I think this painting definitely did have an effect on the move forward into modern thought in some
mm-hmm.
way.
For sure.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm not so quick to claim it as like philosopher's stone to like
yeah,
because
right.
I feel like there is that kind of like
yes.
magic surrounding
right.
this painting, which it is a very intriguing painting.
Right.
But
right.
I've also heard it's just unbelievable in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, regardless of all of the mythos around it, it's top of my list to go see
absolutely.
At the Prado just yeah. because I want to know what the hype is about, right, just seeing it in person. Apparently, like the way it's hung, everything, the experience.
I'm sure. It's top of my list too. Yeah, I totally agree. Right. Yeah, because the size, I think, is
the size, and like if you see close-ups of the detail in the Infanta's dress, like the way that he painted the fabric and all that kind of detail, and even the way he painted the painter's palette in his hand, and then his hand that's painting, it's almost looks like when you get a picture of a hand that's moving really quickly. It has that kind of blurry look to it. So I think there's a lot of beautiful details that it's harder to grasp when you're looking at it on a computer or it projected in a classroom. So I think it's definitely worth seeing in person. I would really love to see it in person as well.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to take a trip to Spain?
I know.
Right.
And the Prado is incredible.
Yeah, so I've heard.
And I do think there is something to be said about just the way he paints, like, the expressions on some of the characters. Like, the Infanta herself is just a very... There's something enigmatic about her. Mm-hmm. Just the way they're glancing at the viewer.
Yeah, totally.
Listeners, let us know what you think. This is, like, such a hot topic in the world of art history. If you happen to be, like, a huge Las Meninas, like, enthusiast, I would love to hear your thoughts. Or if you're like, I don't understand, would love to hear different people's reactions, because there really is so much to talk about with this painting. And or if you have like a unique take that we didn't really touch on, love to hear it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so that was just kind of the basis for
just an appetizer,
just a little bite, little snack,
just a little baby
on Diego Velázquez's Las Meninas. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks. Goodbye.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
You gotta confront the Menina.
The Art History Babes podcast is made possible by support from our lovely listeners via Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/arthistorybabes to help keep the Art History Babes going and for access to bonus content.